Cucumber.
KFDI, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Calling with John Irwin?
Yes.
Excellent. Do you have an air date for us?
I'm going to air it tomorrow, and I will air it around 8:10 in the morning.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So this is streaming on the Wonder Project on Prime Video, okay?
Yep, got it.
Great, thank you. Patrick, you? Hello,
John. Good morning.
Good morning.
Director, executive producer, screenwriter, Dove Award winner, creative mind behind Amazon Prime Video, House of David, John Irwin. How's the family?
Man, we're good. We're good. We're back. We've been working on House of David in Greece for quite a while, and so it's good to be back in America. And although I love Greece, it's been incredible to make the show, and so yes, it's good to be home. But I'm also very, very proud of what we created, and I can't wait for people to see it. The finale of season two is this weekend. It's my favorite episode of the series thus far, and it's just great to work out really hard on something you deeply believe in, and to have the audience love it. And we've been blown away by the success of the show, and I'm incredibly grateful to be able to make it.
Greece, one of my favorite spots recently that I have visited. Just a beautiful place on the planet. I did, however, have a little disappointment.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible. I went to a local joint and got a really real authentic gyro. And I learned a couple of things. One, they don't dress it up like we do here in the States. And two, instead of like a flour pita, they use like a cornmeal pita. And it was so good. And I asked the guy for the recipe. He says, I don't make it fresh. We get it delivered from Athens. I'm like, come on. It tasted fresh. Don't tell me it's not fresh.
Come on.
Come on. Anyway.
The food is great. Man.
Oh,
the food, it's one of the most beautiful. It's one of the most staggeringly beautiful places on
yes.
Earth. I mean, it really is cool. And I love it. And I can't wait to film there again. And it's a beautiful country. There's so much history. And we've loved making the show there.
Yeah. Now, since you're talking about filming, what's the hardest part about picking the right filming location? Like, what's your process and what's the biggest challenge when it comes to that?
Well, you know, you, it's our job to take the audiences all over the world. And so with something like David, you know, you really want to put the Bible on the biggest canvas you can, you know, and so we scouted all over the world, and Greece is just magical. It's one of the most breathtakingly beautiful countries I've ever seen. And also it's just that got such ancient history. So there's like castles on hilltops everywhere and mountaintops and I just really fell in love with the country. And so oftentimes, you know, I think about the audience. I think about the experience we're trying to create. You know, it's a privilege to entertain people, and we want to inconvenience ourselves to do it, you know, and we want to take the audience all over the world with us.
Yeah.
And so Greece just felt like a spectacular opportunity for House of David, and the country is beautiful. The people are wonderful, and there's biblical history there too. Like, we're filming David in Corinth, you know, which is crazy. In the ancient ruins of Corinth and season two. I love a great location. There's nothing like going out and doing it for real, which is how we do the show.
Right.
And we're out in the elements, in the wind and in the heat, on mountaintops all over Greece filming. And I just think that's the way to make the show.
Nice. Now, obviously, most people, I think it's fair to say, have a base familiarity with the story of David and Goliath and all that, the little guy giving us hope and courage and all those things. But you were talking about the audience and taking them on a journey. How do you make something like this so that it speaks to the biblically faithful and also the non-religious types and has more of a mass appeal?
Yeah, well, what I love about David is really, I feel like you don't have, he's the original Luke Skywalker, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have Luke Skywalker or Harry Potter or, you know, Frodo without the original hero's journey and this giant slayer, you know, shepherd chosen to be king in David. And so what I love about the story is, if you love the Bible, as do I think you'll find a whole new meaning. It'll be sort of revelatory in the way we grapple with what this might have been like. But you don't know anything, and you're just a fan of heroes' journeys, as I am, you know, like you know, Star Wars or you know, Harry Potter, I think you're going to find the story accessible and really entertaining, because it really is in that tradition. I mean, it's one of those first coming of age, rite of passage, hero's journey about finding and fulfilling your destiny.
Yeah.
And so you really don't have to know anything about the source material to love the show. And I'm just so grateful. It's 44 million people have seen it all over the world. It's been a hit beyond our wildest dreams. And the finale of season one was number one on Prime Video. And I cannot wait for people to see the finale of season two.
You know, I'm guessing like putting droids in House of David would have crossed the line a little bit.
A little bit, yeah, probably. That'd be a cool mashup.
Sure.
But different world.
It's also
interesting that it's the same characters. Like it really is the same stories that we tell ourselves over and over again.
Sure.
Whether it's the Odyssey or whether it's Star Wars or whether it's David, you know, the idea of a call to adventure and a destiny to live.
Right.
And, you know, boy, do these stories, you know, they're written on our souls in a way. I guess I think because we all just want to know that we have a bigger role to play.
Yeah.
We have a destiny to find and fulfill.
Yeah.
I think that's why we love these stories.
Yeah, for sure. It's also a rags to riches story. I mean, you know, David, a simple shepherd, a musician before ascending to a king. So keep that in mind. What was your first job as a kid, even before you were like a camera operator for ESPN?
Oh my gosh. So I started working for ESPN when I was 15. Because somebody got sick at a University of Alabama football game. Before that, I worked at a cable station when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
We would do kind of local access cable shows, and
right.
They paid us $10 a day, my brother and I, and we didn't know what to do with all the money. But we basically, we got keys to the station, and we would go in there at night and just sit there with all the gear, and we ended up learning it. I don't know how many child labor laws we were violating at the time, but we just loved it, you know, and it's pretty cool to find your passion early,
yeah,
in life, and then just do it for a long period of time. And so before ESPN, it was called ACN. It was a cable station in Birmingham, Alabama.
Nice.
It was as low as you can enter the industry.
Hey, you know what?
It was fun.
Got to start somewhere. Recently, just commemorated Veterans Day. Your grandfather, a World War II veteran and Medal of Honor recipient, have you been to the Medal of Honor Museum, the newly opened Medal of Honor Museum in Texas yet?
I haven't been to the new one. The last time I was in Charleston on the boat with Gary Luttrell, who's the former head of the Medal of Honor Society, and I just want to extend an incredible amount of gratitude to all of our veterans. And my granddad, I remember when my granddad said to me, he let me hold his Medal of Honor, and he was horribly burned. He threw a phosphorus bomb out of a B-29 Super Fortress and saved his crew.
Mm.
And he said, freedom isn't free. And it was such a thing that was seared into my mind because, you know, you see the literal scars on his face and his body. That is the price of the freedom that we enjoy.
Yeah.
And so I'm very grateful. And, you know, the Medal of Honor is given to those that go above and beyond the call of duty. And so that's what I've tried to take it into my career and life is, how can I honor this legacy by just doing more, you know?
Yeah.
Doing more than is required of me and going above and beyond what's required of me. And so I'm very grateful to his service and everyone who served our country.
Make time to visit that museum down in Fort Worth. It's incredible. I went a few months ago, and they did a really an amazing job. So let's see. Is there a biblical story you want to tackle next?
You know, I'm still in the story of David. You know, there's so much more of his story to tell. But I'll tell you this, it's incredible to see this much biblical content being made. I mean, you have to go back to the days of Cecil B. DeMille, see whether it's, you know, my friend Dallas' show, The Chosen, Mel's filming two Resurrection movies right now. It's just, there's a ton of content being made, and I'm glad to be a part of it. There's many stories in the Bible to tell. There's a few that I'm looking at. It's the best-selling book of all time for a reason. The stories are incredible.
Sure.
And there's many, many of them in there. And so, yeah, I would love to keep telling these stories. And it really, it's very meaningful to me to, you know, David is like the songwriter of the Bible. He's like one of the original rock stars, you know. And
yeah.
His words are incredible. I mean, U2 is still singing his songs, you know. And
yep.
So doing the show, it's very cool to do the show and then to really reread his words. They take on a whole new meaning, and I hope they do for the audience as well, because you know the life he was living while he was writing them.
Man,
and so, and so again, the show is just an absolute privilege, and I'm grateful. I can't wait for people to see what we're doing in season two, and I can't wait to keep telling these stories.
All right, real quick before we finish up here, a couple of quick questions. What are you passionate about that has absolutely nothing to do with your career?
What a great question. You know, I love to read.
Okay.
I think if you can replace fear with curiosity in just about every endeavor,
right?
Your life is just more fulfilling. And so, you know, in film we say you have to absorb before you can radiate. And I love to stay curious. And I love to read, and I love a lot of different type of, you know, subject matters. And I just if you can walk through life being curious, I think it's a great way to live.
And finally, it's with Thanksgiving coming, it's not Thanksgiving unless blank is on the table.
Oh man, you know what I think is the pecan pie.
Yes.
Get straight to the end.
Yeah.
It's amazing, right? I mean, that is just one of the most amazing desserts ever.
Yep.
And that's typically by the time, you know, by the time I get to pecan pie, I'm ready to hibernate for the rest of the day.
Hey, listen.
That's Thanksgiving for me.
Pro tip. Eat dessert first because life is unpredictable, John.
Yes. You know, just go straight for the dessert.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I mean, that's why we're all here. That all right. And gravy, you know, in any form, I'm a fan of. All the stuff that'll kill you, basically.
Sure, sure.
I can't wait.
Why not? All right. House of David, now streaming on Wonder Project Prime Video. Season finale arrives Sunday, and rewatch the whole thing. It's great work, and all the other works that that John and his brother have done. John, pleasure speaking with you, and I hope we get to cross paths again in the future.
Likewise. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.